All right, welcome back, Bobcat fans, to Bobcat Radio, the Monday edition. Trevor Sarton, Miracle Robinson, and Caleb Brian Davis coming at you live from Old Main. Without further ado, let's kind of break down the football game. Last Saturday, New Mexico State ended up defeating Texas State 31-21, bringing the Bobcats' record to 2-6 on the year, 1-3 in conference, while New Mexico State won just their second game of the year and their second game in conference. Kind of some quick things from the game. Texas State was heading into halftime with a 14-10 lead over New Mexico State, but a big fourth quarter from New Mexico State kind of just kept the Bobcats out of reach. Larry Rose, the third for the New Mexico State Aggies, ended up having 212 rushing yards on the ground, and he had 85 receiving yards as well. Their quarterback also had a pretty good game. Nick Jainty had 297 yards with two touchdowns. So pretty much those are the highlights for the Aggies. As far as Texas State is concerned, Tyler Jones, 21 of 36, 287 yards, a touchdown, two picks, which I think was pretty much maybe the biggest thing from Texas State's point of view that really kind of hurt them. Rob Lowe, pretty decent game for him, 22 attempts, 96 yards, didn't score a touchdown. Receiving, C.J. Best led the way, 6 receptions, 74 yards. So we can break down stats pretty much all day, but just real quick, guys, your takeaways from the game. What did you see that Texas State did wrong and New Mexico State did right?
For me, Texas State, they had to be able to stop the run. They struggled in the game before, obviously. Let them rush over,
500 yards.
Yeah, 500 yards rushing. And then for them to go back and do it the following week, it wasn't 500 yards, but to let one person rush for over 200 yards. I think that's something that you have to fix. You have to be able to defend against the run if you can do nothing else, because I feel like the run game is the hardest to do for most teams. And if you can stop that and put everything in the air, it'll help your defense. But if you can't stop that and then you're also not able to stop the passing game either, that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I just think that, I don't know, we can always point a finger, I mean, and point at something that Texas State needs to fix.
Texas State's defense this year needs to be fixed. This is that game that Caleb was talking about, where Tyler Jones needed to show up, and Tyler Jones showed up. He couldn't have done anything better.
Yeah. Caleb, I heard something over there, Caleb.
Was that audible?
I think it definitely was.
Ad libs, okay.
You have to add something to that.
Oh, man. He showed up, yes.
Literally.
he was on the field, and yes, it was better, but was not the Tyler Jones that it should have been,
right,
against New Mexico State, is all I'm saying.
But he did significantly better than it's against New Mexico
horrendous
State. Yeah.
In the games before then. So, yeah. you know what I mean? Like, yes, he was better, you know, so in terms, yes, I will give him credit for making strides from his last
Absolutely.
Game.
Absolutely.
Is this where we still need him? No. He's still not the guy that we need him to be right now. You know, and I'm not going to sit there and point out the interception at the end of the game. I'm not going to sit there and point out that, because I would rather him throw the ball than not. More, 10 times out of 10, I want him to throw the ball if he can. And, you know, so I don't blame that on him. He's not the same guy that we, you know, are going. And maybe I'm expecting too much out of him. Maybe I'm expecting the Tyler Jones that you know first started off where he just blew our minds, and the Tyler Jones that made Coach Fran say that this kid just has it. You know, I miss that Tyler Jones, and maybe I'm expecting too much of that for two seasons.
I don't think that you're expecting too much. I think the problem maybe is that we're putting so much pressure on Tyler Jones without accounting or holding everyone else on the offense accountable.
I disagree though, because we weren't putting that much on Tyler Jones whenever Robert Lowe was rushing. How many times last game?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the guy was the main part of the offense. There was no
But I feel like like every week we come back and it's like Tyler Jones has to do better. Tyler Jones has to do this
because
this,
he does.
But at the same time, you still have a whole offense. I feel like you still have a whole offense, and I don't think your offense can get going if your defense isn't playing well. You know, I think they people don't think offense and defense goes hand in hand, but when you sit there and break it down and look at it, you have to have a, I won't say a spectacular defense, but you have to have a decent enough defense to let your offense, you know, stay on the field a little bit, get them the ball, give them some time of possession. The defense has to improve for the offense to improve, and I think they feed off of each other. The same way I can say that the offense, when the offense is rolling, the defense generally rolls as well.
Yeah, well, I agree with that, but one quick question for both of y'all. Do y'all think that, number one, Tyler Jones should have had a better game?
Absolutely. Okay, absolutely.
You agree with that. Now, do you think that we should have stomped Larry Rose?
Okay, what do you mean? Like, do you think we should have...
Well, because the way that you introed a while ago was that, you know, you can't give up that many yards to one guy.
Right.
But the problem is that one guy leads the Sun Belt Conference in rushes.
Well, obviously.
No, so, I mean, I think that was expected. I just think it was more of... honestly, I think our defense played better than what they have all season in this game. I mean, yeah, they let up 200 rushing yards to this guy, but they held them to 31 points, and I mean, that's well below our season average.
That's well below our season average, but that's still 41. Too much coming from New Mexico State.
But he's a stud.
Like, I'll give you that. But my thing is, if you pay attention to the scouting reports, if you come out and practice the way that you're supposed to, I feel like these guys, we have guys go out there and, you know, look at the practices, get to talk to coach, and I feel like these guys are practicing hard, but they don't necessarily relay that on the field. And that often happens in collegiate sports and professional sports. It's one way in practice, but once you get out onto the field, it's totally different. And I feel like that's one of those things. I feel like, you know, coming in that he's going to get his rushing yards, but allowing him 200 yards, I feel like we could have done a little more in that aspect.
I think you probably will agree with this, Miracle, that whenever you have somebody like this, like a Larry Rose, who's just really dominant,
he's a stud. Yeah.
You have to make somebody else beat you. Like you have, I mean, and their quarterback honestly did pretty well. He threw for almost 300 yards and I think a couple touchdowns. But I don't know. I mean, against the Navy, or in the Navy game last year, I'm going way back here, but
it was the exact same thing.
I was not gonna be upset if Navy beat us throwing the football, and they had two really long touchdown passes, and I was like, okay, if we,
you can accept that.
Yeah, you know, they beat you. I mean, they had to work to beat you, whereas I mean they didn't rely on what they've been doing all season. You did your homework and you stopped that. It's just there. I mean, sometimes people make plays, and I don't know. It's just
absolutely.
It's
I agree with
to,
that.
Tough to beat that.
I agree with that 100%. And it's the same thing I say with basketball. If you know that Kobe Bryant is going to be the biggest scorer for the Lakers, if you can shut him down and make the rest of the team work,
you can't be upset,
right?
If they beat
because
you.
Because you did your job. Right. You did what you were supposed to do. So I kind of feel like when we play teams that have, I don't want to say one threat, but have a main threat, I feel like shutting down that main threat, or at least containing that main threat. Because like you said, this guy, he's a stud. I mean, trying to completely shut him down is not going to happen. But if you can at least contain him and make everyone else work, I think you could walk away with a little sense of pride.
Yeah, and for me, I don't necessarily want to just kind of pick on the defense like we have done a lot of the time. But, you know, for me, I think a lot of it has to be on the offense as well. I mean, looking at New Mexico State's defense, they're second to last in the FBS as far as points allowed at 45.8 points a game, and Texas State only put up 21.
Right.
I mean, that. I know maybe putting up 60 points a game is a little too much to ask for as far as Texas State is concerned, but I still think there has to be, you know, they have to score a little bit more than 21 points a game against a team that's allowing 46 points a game. I mean, I don't know. I think it's kind of going both ways. I don't think you necessarily can just point a finger at one side of the ball.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah.
They go hand in hand. And like we all said last week, we projected Texas State to have over 30 points. All three of us did.
Yeah.
And the fact that the tables were kind of turned where it was opposite. We felt like New Mexico State was going to come in under 30. Texas State was going to come in over 30. I think that's one of those things where you have to look at and make some corrections on the offense. Like Caleb said, Tyler Jones has to pretty much play spectacular for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. Another stat that that I saw real quick, just to throw it out there. Texas State was 2 of 4 as far as red zone scores and chances. So they converted 2 scores out of 4 red zone chances, which really isn't gonna win you very many games. Missed field goal, and I can't remember what else happened because I had to work. But that really isn't gonna win you a lot of games, honestly. When you're not converting in the red zone, but
yeah, one last point, but one point that I want to focus on here is that this New Mexico State team that came in, we can look at the scouting reports all day long, but this is not the same team that came in that has been scouted all season long. This was not a 1-7 team that came in to play this game. They kind of played out of their minds for a little while, and I agree, you can't let a team like that do that.
I agree with that.
But they did, and to me, you know, that's what kind of changes, is that every team can have a fantastic game. And I think the New Mexico State maybe had that fantastic game this season, and it just kind of stunk that it was against Texas State. Yeah.
I will say that I felt like this was the game where they had to – Texas State, it was like the battle of the bottom feeders. Texas State had to decide whether they were going to be the best of the people at the bottom or not. And I think that's where they struggled. That confidence just isn't necessarily there.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, after the game, Coach Fran had some words to say, so without further ado, we're going to get you that audio right here.
Well, and you know, when you're a coach and things don't go your way, there's not a play you don't redissect and wish you could have done a little better or a little differently. And but that's not what you get to do. You get to break the film down and evaluate. I don't know if there's any one singular play that sticks out. You know, my frustration doesn't have anything to do with them. It just has to do with us. You know, Doug is a good coach and a good man, and I hate to lose, but I'm happy for Doug. And
you heard it right there. Coach Fran in the post-game conference, or the post-game interview after the loss to New Mexico State on Saturday. But we actually, right now, we have a caller coming in. Damian Williams, actually, former Texas State player, is on the line right now. So, Damian, how are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
We're doing good up here. So without further ado, let's kind of jump into some questions here. Just real quick, what are your thoughts as far as the season overall? Texas State, you know, 2-6 on the season, but do you think there's still some hope that they can turn this thing around?
Well, I'm hoping we can turn it around. Obviously, you know, as a fan, as alumni, we'd love to go to a bowl game if we could, but so far from the season, you know, I've kind of seen not a lot of passion, but kind of going through the motions a little bit, especially with last week's game. But
yeah, and if like you said, going through the motions, is there anything that the coaching staff needs to do in order to fix that? Is there anything you can do as a coach to say, hey, y'all need to actually start putting forth the effort and stop just kind of going through the motions, like you said?
Well, they might need to, you know, light a little fire up there under their butt. But like Coach Fran said, too, it may not be the players, may be, you know, the coaching as well. You can't really point fingers in a situation like that. But as a program, they may need something to play for at this point, you know, with a 2-6 record.
Yeah, and the 2-6 record, you know, isn't going to be good. But last season, you know, we were the only 7-win team to not make a bowl, and I know you alluded to it earlier. I know probably this season 7 wins is going to be a bit of a stretch, but do you think that's definitely attainable in the next couple of years?
Oh yeah, definitely. We were, like you said, we were there last year. I believe, you know, going forward, it's something we can do possibly, but I think this year, we just need to finish out the season strong, win as much as we can, and try to get some fire underneath the team.
All right, Damian, I know that you were, you know, a part of the offense whenever you were here, I kind of want to ask you, I guess, personally, on a lighter note, is there somebody that you've been very impressed with this season and stuff, and somebody that has taken strides that maybe you didn't expect to see coming into the season?
Someone I didn't expect to see. I don't know. I'm not sure. With the games this year, the offense kind of took a step back a little bit. I don't know. not really sure.
That's right. No worries. All right. So going back to whenever you did play here, you know, can you just tell us a little bit about some of your favorite experiences here at Texas State and, you know, kind of some things that you took away from being a part of the program?
My years, we had a pretty solid senior leadership unit. You know, all those guys, I think we had like something around 19 seniors or whatnot, and they held you accountable, you know, for everything that you did on the field and off the field as well. My experiences playing, you know, in front of the crowds and sell out crowds every week, the traveling with the guys, it was just a really good time. You know, obviously with the offense, everybody got touched the ball a lot. We spread it around, and the offense was going, you know, north and south versus east and west. But, hey, how are you? But it was definitely a good time. All the experiences, all the people.
Yeah, definitely. And as far as you've seen this program make the transition from FCS to FBS in the last couple of years, and the program has definitely made strides in the right direction. I mean, how much have you seen? How much you know progress have you seen in the athletic program as a whole over the last couple of years?
I've seen a lot. My wife and I, we've been season ticket holders for about 5 years here, so I go to a lot of games. We travel with the team a little bit as well. As far as program as a whole, as in like the whole athletic department, everything's grown a bit. As far as football goes, obviously, you know, we get new uniforms and the support has grown like tremendously. As a team, I think they've gotten a lot bigger than what they were, I guess, like the following years after I was there. The O-line and the D-line, they got bigger than what we were before in the past. But obviously you need that when you jump up from the FCS to FBS.
Yeah, definitely. I have to agree with you there. We're actually coming up on our 30 break right now, but we really do appreciate the time, and thank you for coming on to the show today.
No problem.
All right. And like I said, that was Damian Williams, former Texas State player, talking a little bit about the program and some things that he has been noticing. That kind of seems like the common theme that we've been talking about with all the former players, that the program's headed in the right direction, but maybe just a little bit of an off year in this season right now. But when we come back, we're going to get to, we have actually some San Marcos Rattlers stuff that we need to talk about, as they actually are in the playoffs for the first time in a few seasons. So we're going to get to that, and then we're going to finish up with the rest of our Texas State stuff, volleyball, soccer, and we'll get to some basketball as well. But before we get on that 30 break, I want to tell you about how nice the weather is outside right now. It's a cool 66, not much wind in the air. It's pretty much going to stay pretty much high 60s, low 70s today, as the high is 72. Tonight we're looking at 55, and tomorrow another high of 77. So some pretty cooler weather coming into San Marcos. So it might be time to pull out that light fleece as November is kind of getting into full swing here. But when we come back, like I said, more Texas State and San Marcos Rattlers stuff. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on KTSW 89.9.